Welcome to Calvary Church. We hope you enjoy our latest message. For more information, you can check us out at calvarysimco.com or you can visit us on Facebook or Instagram.
And I'm really glad that you're here this morning. Well, how many of you were able to be with us last week for our revived services? How many were touched by the hand of God? Amen. It was a powerful time. But I said this in pre-service prayer, the same ingredients that allowed the Holy Spirit to break out in our midst are still here because you're here, and where there's hunger, God will respond. Amen? So here, can you turn to Mark chapter 3? Here's what's interesting. Some of you who track with us know that 2 weeks ago, I had this message written and prepared and ready to go. But Saturday night, the Lord was stirring my heart with something different. Sunday morning, I got up early and I wrote out the message, and we talked about, remember, the narrow gate and the narrow way. And so the message that I had prepared 2 weeks ago, I feel the Lord prompting me to release today. But here's what's interesting. When Pastor Chris was preaching last week, I leaned over to Pastor Nikki and I said, he's preaching a good chunk of the message that I had prepared for next week. And she says, I think you need to get a new one. I said, no, I think the Lord's trying to tell us something. And so where there's overlap, I do believe it's intentional by the Holy Spirit. Because again, I had this message done. Pastor Chris spoke to much of it last Sunday, and we're going to look at it again. All right, Mark 3, verse 13 to 15. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. I had a whole teaching I was prepared to do on what apostles are. And again, Pastor Chris touched on that during Revive last week. And we're going to release that in the next few months. All of us are called to apostolic ministry. And so we will look at that in a few weeks. So Jesus went up to a mountainside and called to him those he wanted. This is true of all of us. In John 6:44, the Lord makes this statement, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, in him, Christ, we were also chosen, having been predestined, according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Jesus would go on to tell his own disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you. You know, that's true of all of us. Each one of us was chosen by God. Jesus said, you would not be here today. You would not, the circumstances that brought you to Christ, the gospel that was preached in whatever form it came, you would not be saved. You would not be born again today had not the Father chosen to draw you to Jesus. And I'm not going to get in a whole predestination debate or anything like that. All I can say is thank you, Jesus, that the Father chose me and drew me to salvation. Amen? Amen. You know, none of us stumble into salvation. We were invited because we were drawn, which for practical purposes means you were wanted and you were chosen. Peter, in his letter to the church, describes us as people who are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. And so God's plan was to bring you into connection with himself through his son Jesus. In fact, you are not just connected to God. In fact, you are family. You are part of the family of God. John chapter 1, we're going to have a lot of scripture this morning. John chapter 1, verse 12, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Verse 13, children not born of natural descent or of human decision or a parent's will, but born of God. So God chose, not just picked you for his team, he chose you to be adopted as a son and as a daughter. And we have the right to call God our Father, and we have the right to say that we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we are in the year of transformation, 2024. The Lord told us that from glory to glory, he's going to transform our church and transform us. But what the Holy Spirit in us wants to do is transform us into the family image. God wants you to become more and more like a chip off the old block than the old you. And that's what the transformation process does. It helps us become more and more like the family we've been adopted into. And so you were chosen, and I was chosen. Now, I know the difference. This might be hard. I know Pastor Chris stood here last week and said, this is manliness. And I thought, yeah, I couldn't get away with that. But I can say this. I know this might be hard to believe, but there was a time when I wasn't always picked first for athletic things. I know. You're shocked. I think one of the cruelest things, I don't know what era you grew up in, but I went to public school in the 80s and in the 70s and 80s and in high school in the 80s. And one of the meanest things that a phys ed teacher would do was name two captains and say, pick your team. Oh, man. The only thing meaner than that is what they do now, and that's give everybody trophies, but that's a whole other story. That's a whole other message. But man, honestly, I know what it's like to stand there when they pick the two captains, and there was many times I was picked last. How many of you know that when you're picked last, you're not picked? They're just stuck with you. Honestly, I can still remember standing at Rideau Heights Public School in Kingston, Ontario, and they picked everybody, including the gimpy kids, you know, the ones that would trip all the time, couldn't walk into walls and stuff. And then finally they go, okay, Jay, do you want him? Okay, we'll take him. And I'm going to tell you something. It never really motivated me to play that hard for those teams. I never got that chip on my shoulder. I'm going to prove to them that I'm a great asset. I just would get up to bat or whatever it was and just go, whatever. Now, as I kind of grew up and became a bit stronger and, you know, became a little better at sports, I knew what it was like not to be picked last. I wasn't always picked first, but I certainly wasn't picked last. And I knew what it was like to actually be someone that was chosen, sometimes even near the top of the list, to be part of the team. And I knew I was wanted. And I'm going to tell you something, that would motivate me to play hard, to be a good team member, to do everything I could to be a good asset. And I say all that just to say this, knowing that of his own free will and because of his great love for us, God chose us. I don't know about you, but that motivates me to please the Father. Amen. I don't try to please God because I'm trying to do something to earn it. If only I can just prove to God. No. The more that I come to realize that before the foundations of the earth, he predestined me to be conformed to the image of his Son because he chose me. Because I was chosen, because I was picked for the team, because he actually willingly adopted me. I didn't stumble into this thing. God had a choice and he chose to pick me. That makes me want to say, I want to be transformed and changed to be more like the one who chose me, and I just want to please him. The motivation for transformation should, let me say this, the fact that you were chosen and handpicked by God should be motivation for you to go every day, I want to please the Father's heart today, and I want to become more like Jesus who died for me. So he chooses us. There's value in you. There's potential in you, and that provides the excitement to be transformed. He also says he called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. And this is where our free will has to decide to say yes. We were given an invitation, but we had to respond to that invitation. You know, I'm like, again, like what Pastor Chris said, I'm an introverted extrovert. I don't mind being around people. I like being around people, which some of you are going, well, that's good because you're like, you kind of work with people, you know. But I'm the one that when our family gets together, and I've said this story before, when our family gets together, I'm out in the backyard having a coffee partway through, and the other introvert extroverts walk out with me and say, oh, I just needed a break from that. And that's the way that I am. I need a break. I don't even know where I was going with this. I'll look at my notes and it'll tell me. Yes, I'm an introverted extrovert. So sometimes for me, it's honestly just enough to be invited. I'm like, yeah, I was invited to that. I feel good. They were thinking of me, but I don't really want to go. Come on. Like work events and stuff, right? I'm glad they thought about me, but I really don't. Yeah, I got a hand waving back. I see those hands, right? If they didn't invite me, I might be offended. But they invited me. I'm just not sure I want to go, right? The invitation that we have from Jesus is one that we have to respond to in order for it to activate in our lives. But it's not just the first time we come to Jesus. The first time we respond to that invitation for salvation leads us to a lifetime of saying yes to Jesus' invitations. And the invitation to transformation in whatever season we find ourselves is something that we have to say yes to because we've been given a free will. So he called to him those he wanted and they came to him. And maybe you're here today and if you're hearing my voice, the invitation to come to Jesus is being extended. Paul said, how will people know if no one tells them? I'm telling you this morning, there's an invitation from the heart of God that you can be in relationship with God. Your sins can be forgiven. You can spend an eternity with him. You can walk with him on this earth, and that invitation has come through Jesus. So I'm telling you today, if you hear my voice, God is extending an invitation to you to come to him and be part of his family. But here's the thing, there's no guarantee of tomorrow because it is God who draws. It is the Spirit who invites us. And friend, that invitation may not be extended another day. It might, but it might not. I had a friend, this really dates me. Back in the day, I had just given my heart back over to Jesus. And he came to, okay, here we go, a Christian all-night roller skate. Yeah. Yeah, I was dorky. Anyways, he came. He came that night, and he sat. He was a friend from high school, and he heard the gospel two or three times, clearly. And now I'm really going to share, because I just feel the Lord wants me to go down this trail. He stole something from one of my Christian friends. I haven't thought of this in years. And I went up to him because I was a new Christian. And I said, I know what you did, and basically told him, if you do it again, you know, I'll. And I threatened him. And in school on the Monday, I told him again, you do that again and I'll. And I ended up moving that year from Kingston to Tillsonburg, where my parents were pastoring, and I had to stay for semester reasons in school. And shortly after I arrived in Tillsonburg, my friend had mailed me a newspaper article where that guy had been hit on his BMX bike by a transport truck. And I'm telling you, as a 15, 16-year-old teenager, it reminded me of two things. God, in his mercy, had reached out to that kid. God in his mercy had reached out. There was no guarantee he was going to get that another opportunity for the invitation. But it also reminded me as a believer that our words and our actions have eternal consequences. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, but there's that witness of the Spirit in your heart, I just want to pray for you. And then following the service, Pastor Dan and Pastor Ward will be here, and they would love to give you some material and just walk you through how do you respond to the invitation of Jesus. Can we just take a minute and speak? I'm not trying to manipulate you. I just really feel you're not guaranteed tomorrow, friend. Today, if you hear his voice, today's the day of salvation. Lord, if there's anyone here and they responded once, but they haven't followed through or they haven't responded, I pray that today they would say yes to the invitation. I pray that today, while the Father and the Spirit are drawing them to you, Jesus, that they would realize there's forgiveness for sins. There's freedom from the weight of guilt and shame. There is someone who will walk every day with them in this life. Jesus, there is someone who will forgive, cleanse, and redeem them. Make them into a brand new person, and one day usher them into eternity where they will spend forever with you. I pray they would respond to that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now I got to make up some time. He called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. And it goes on to say, he appointed them. Do you know that if you're chosen, you're called? If you're chosen, you're born again, God has appointed you. You are where you're at in life, and you were saved where you were at in life because God has appointed you. He has a plan for you and a purpose for you. every day and every season, the Lord knows your purpose. I think one of the problems that we even have in the body of Christ is that we try to find our purpose. What's my purpose? Why did God put me on this earth? Listen, Jesus called them to himself. They responded, and then Jesus showed them their purpose. It's when you respond to the call of Jesus, not just once, but every day of your life, you'll find your purpose. He has a plan for you. You see, knowing our purpose is really important. Can you bring that microphone to me, Pastor Dan? This is why knowing our purpose in Christ is... Yeah, don't turn it on, though. Yep, thank you. Yeah, we'll need to have that off. This is why it's important. And if you're taking notes, I'm going to ask that you write this down. Where purpose is not known, abuse will inevitably happen. Where purpose is not known, you won't utilize what the intended purpose is. Oh, that makes sense, right? So if I didn't know the purpose of this microphone, there's lots of things I could do with it. Like, let's say there's some loose carpet here, just by chance. There might be some wrinkled carpet. I could use this microphone to try to roll that carpet out, right? Maybe there's a nail that needs hammering in, and I think, I know what would do it. There's that heavy thing that I can hold in my hand, and I come to the wall, and I start hammering the nail. How many of you know that it might be effective for a short while doing those other things? And why would I ever use this device for banging a nail in the wall? Because I don't know its purpose. So when I don't know the purpose of something, I'm going to abuse something, misuse something, or not utilize it. Conversely, if I don't know the purpose, I could be standing looking over this sea of people going, there's a lot of people here this morning. I wish there was something that would project my voice so they could hear me better and have this in my hand the whole time. When we come to Jesus, he has a purpose for us. And purpose is found in our relationship with him. And if you don't understand what your purpose is for your daily life, why you are the mom to the children you are, the dad to the kids you are, the neighbor to the neighbors you are, the husband to the wife to the husband, the place and work, if you don't know the purpose that God has for you there, inevitably abuse will happen, misuse will happen, and sin is abuse and misuse. Any area you don't understand the purpose for it, you will sin in that area. Okay, it's really quiet, but I'm just going to tell you that you're thinking this through. And the problem with sin, the problem with not knowing our purpose is this. This might work effectively for a short season to bang nails in the wall. But at some point when I discover its purpose, it might be beyond repair. Now, the good news is Jesus redeems everything. But if you don't know your purpose, if you don't know your purpose, you're either going to neglect it, sin, or you're going to abuse. If you don't know your purpose for your sexuality, you're going to misuse your sexuality. If you don't know the purpose for your money, for your resources, for your time, you're going to misuse those things. Sin will flow to every area we don't know purpose because it's inevitable. And so it's so important. So important that we understand, God, why am I where I'm at? And a big part of the transformation process God wants to do in our lives is bringing every area of our lives into the will and purposes of the Lord, submitting to his will and his purposes, not our own. Boy, that was a much better illustration than you folks were responding. I thought that was pretty good, if I do say so myself. All right. You're sitting here looking at me, but you're going to use it one day. You're going to say to somebody, see this thing? If we don't know its purpose, we're going to abuse it. All right. So he called them. Here's the key point to today's message. That was all introduction. But the rest of it is shorter than the introduction. Jesus called them that they might be with him. Jesus called them that they might be with him. Remember what we said during the service? Jesus didn't die so we could come to church. He died so we could be with him. And this is the first calling of every Christian, to be with Jesus. Everything we do must flow from our relationship with the Lord. John 15:4, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. So before the disciples were ever sent out, they were called to the Lord. Before they could enact their authority, they were called to be with Jesus. Everything that they did flowed from being with the Lord. The greatest transformation takes place. This would be a good one, Brittany, Brittany does our social media. Before, the greatest transformation in us takes place by our proximity to Christ. And so I might have said this a few weeks ago, but I suggest you can read the Bible and never be changed. Jesus said of the Pharisees, "You diligently study the scriptures, which all point to me and reveal me, and yet here you are, you're rejecting me." So we can read the Bible and not find Christ in it. We can pray and never really have a conversation with the Lord. We can even sing worship songs and never access his presence. It's possible to do all those things. But it's impossible to walk in intimacy with Jesus without reading your Bible, without prayer, and without a lifestyle of worship. All of those things need to be part of our daily lives so that we can be with him. And so I propose to you this morning that before you're sent out into your daily life, you are first and foremost called to be with Jesus, to be in communion with him, to know him, to walk with him in intimacy and quietness, to soak in and meditate on his word, to seek his direction, power, and guidance for your life, to allow the Holy Spirit to anoint you and to enable you. God is constantly shifting us, amen? Like we're constantly shifting either to something new from glory to glory or shifting back to something that needs strengthening. And the Lord has been shifting me back where I desire the anointing. I went shopping yesterday and I started to pray, Jesus, anoint me today when I go grocery shopping, because there could just be that one person you want me to talk to, that you want me to make time. They might even be, you know, cashing out their stupid lottery tickets in front of me when I'm in a hurry. But Lord, whatever it is, let me be so intimate with you today and walking in the anointing that I can step through to that opportunity. I'm praying that as much now for my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday as I am for a Sunday morning. I'm preaching twice today. I'm preaching somewhere else tonight. And I've been praying, Lord, I don't want to come with anything so people will say you're a good preacher. I just want, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to bring something that has value because it's your word and it'll bring a shift in someone today, encourage someone today. But I'm praying the same thing when I'm in the grocery store. We are called to be with Jesus. And the Bible says that when they saw the disciples, they saw that they had been with Jesus in the book of Acts. And so I want to be with Jesus. Is this making sense? Is this landing this morning? So we remain in Christ by soaking on his word, seeking his direction, power, and guidance, living a life of communion, prayer, and worship. Jesus himself modeled this for us. And this is where it's going to reflect a bit of what Pastor Chris said. And with this, we'll close this morning. But it's too important for us to move on. And here's why it's too important for us to move on. Because we have I said at the beginning of the year that so much of our transformation process is much like our New Year's resolutions. We're good till April. And then we stop going to the gym, we start eating chips again, and then we stop doing the things that we know the Lord put on our heart for our spiritual well-being. But I want this to be the year that when we get to December 31st, we say, my God, I am changed. I wasn't who I was in January. Amen. Amen? So, Mark chapter 1, Jesus modeled this. Mark chapter 1, verse 32 to 34. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. This is the start of Jesus' ministry. He's establishing things. He hasn't even picked his 12 disciples yet. He's got this group of people that are following him, that are connecting with his ministry. He's probably already told them, come follow me, but he hasn't picked his 12 yet. So this is just at the genesis, the beginning of his ministry. He's building something here, and he knows he's got a very short time to do it. He knows that he's only got about 3 years to establish what needs to be established and to mentor those that need to be mentored. So it's an important time. There's no lack of need or opportunity. But if we read on, verse 35, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. Now, Luke chapter 4 tells us the people came to find him and they pressured him to come back with them. So you got to keep that in mind. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." I love those "everyone" statements, don't you? As a pastor, you hear it all the time. Everyone is unhappy right now. Everyone agrees with me, and you find out it's their wife and their third cousin twice removed. Everyone. So, nothing new. They said it to Jesus, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also, for that is why I have come." Now, if you're taking notes, please write this down. This is the crux of the message today. If I want transformation to take place in 2024, I will have to be intentional. I know, we're Pentecostals, we're charismatics. We just want to sit there and sing worship and God will just like flood us with his glory and make the change. Thankful he does once in a while. If I want to be transformed, if I want transformation to take place in 2024, I'm going to have to be intentional. It is a choice. Jesus, in the midst of the burgeoning ministry and the demands of what would become tens of thousands of people's expectations, gets up early to go and spend time with the Father. And then when they come and they say, "Jesus, everyone is looking for you." Jesus, we don't even need to build a congregation. The congregation is there. There's still people that need healed. There's still people that need ministered to. Jesus, we need to go back to Capernaum because that's where it's happening. And Jesus said, "We need to go somewhere else." We all applaud Jesus for that, don't we? I had this thought. Do you want to hear my sarcastic thoughts while you're looking over your message? Some of you are like, "Do we really want that?" I was thinking how we applaud Jesus because Jesus didn't give in to the everyone and the pressure, and he just went and did what the Father told him to do. Hallelujah, glory. I wish we had a pastor like that. And the same people that say, we wish we had a pastor like that, if the pastor doesn't pick up the phone the minute they want it or go visit them the minute they want, then all of a sudden they're upset. That was just a sarcastic thought. I don't even know if there's really any truth in it or not. Are you still okay with me? And those that aren't, are you still okay with the Lord? That's really what matters. Talk about expectations. Talk about opportunity. See, what I try to do when I read scriptures is put myself there. I put myself there. And I think I would have been one of the people because I'm a people pleaser. I've been up front this before. God has always called Jackie and I to be kingdom shifters. Every ministry that we've been a part of, to one measure or another, every time we've seen your pastor, God says we need to shift some things and move some things. There's a great foundation, but we got to shift it. And I always say, "Lord, why did you call a people pleaser to be a church shifter?" Because they never really kind of come together. But I come to discover in my weakness, he can be strong, right? And so I know I would have been one of the people that came to Jesus. You know, Peter, this is his home. These are his neighbors. This is his family. And Peter's thinking, "Man, like, I got the guy. And man, my family's putting pressure on me to get Jesus to come back." And Jesus is able to see through all that and go, no, we're going there. Why did he say we're going there? Because he had heard from the Father. His steps were ordered of the Lord. Jesus would later go on to say, "I do everything in submission to God." And so we burn out spiritually when we go out into the world and we live our lives without first being with Jesus. Jesus' steps were ordered through his intimacy with the Father. So we see in the example of Mark 1 that Jesus didn't let the demands and expectations of others or even the opportunities dictate his priorities. He goes off by himself and we see what happens. Everyone's looking for you. And again, I got thinking of how we applaud Jesus, and I do. I applaud Jesus. Jesus, you were true to what God called you to do. But we've got to remember that there was a whole town whose expectations were disappointed in Jesus because he didn't go back. Imagine the people who brought someone who was lame and blind and sick, who had a mental illness, who was demonized, and Peter said, I'll go get him and I'll bring him back. And then someone had to go back and go, he's gone. How did Jesus navigate all that? Intimacy with the Father. And so how do we prioritize our lives? How do we know the difference between what is good for our lives and our family and what's best? How do we know what opportunities to step into and what opportunities to say no thank you to? I love what Pastor Chris said last week. We order our lives around the Babylon system. We will move from one town to another because it's a better job and a better paying job. But I love it when I hear people say, God, we had people in our last congregation who said, God brought us here to be part of this congregation and the rest he'll have to figure out. I want you to think about the faith that took. We are here to partner with this church and this ministry. And they moved from hours away to be part of a church that none of you would have ever heard of if I hadn't been the pastor there. And so how do we know what to say yes to, what to say no to? How do we know how to navigate our lives? It comes through intimacy with the Lord. The steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered of the Lord. Your word, O God, is a lamp to my path and a light to my feet. What's the next step, Lord? What's the next step, Lord? Speak to me, Lord. So I just want to really get practical here. Jesus chose those he wanted, then he called them to himself, then he sent them out, and when sent out, they were given spiritual authority. So their priorities in being sent and their spiritual power came from their proximity to Jesus, and we often get that reversed. We often launch out into life, launch out into our plans, whether it's daily, monthly, yearly, and then we make the time for Jesus. We have it backwards. And then what we end up doing for a lot of our lives is playing catch up. God, can you bless this? God, can you bless this? God, can you bless this? Because we're already in it. Jesus called them to himself. Then he sent them out. Then he gave them authority. There is an authority that you have in your life because you have been given the keys because you are a born-again believer. Then why do we see so much lack and so much lack of authority in our lives? Because we're trying to do it backwards. We're trying to set our priorities and prioritize our life, and then we come back to Jesus and say, Jesus, can you help me with this? All right, you're quiet. I'm going to take that. That's a good thing. You're chewing on this. Peter came to Jesus with the expectations of others. Those expectations were disguised as opportunity. Jesus, people are looking at you. They're there. But Jesus knew who he was, what he was about, and he knew who was ordering his steps. So parents and families and individuals, parents with young families, please be intentional. Please decide what values and what priorities are for your family, your marriage, and your children, and do this prayerfully. And once you sense the leading of the Lord for your priorities, be intentional about how many other things your family will commit to. Keep what is of the greatest value and importance, the priority, non-negotiable, because there will always be opportunities. And I'm going to say this, okay, as an older guy, my children, you know, Seth is still with us, but my other kids are married, and our kids are out on their own path following the Lord. But let me say this, okay, as someone who's a little older, still not a grandparent, I'm going to be 70 before that ever happens. No, I just, listen. It's okay to say no to some of the opportunities that your kids and your family want to be part of. I know now families are all about the experience. We want our kids to experience everything that they can, all these opportunities. It's okay to say, it's okay. Some of you know, I joke about it, my oldest son came home in high school, and man, he was a great point guard, great basketball player, and he came home and said, I'm giving up just sports because I want to devote more time to music and to worship ministry. And I was up front, I was devastated. I'm like, I don't need to live vicariously through you as a musician. I can already do that. I want to live vicariously through you as a point guard. But he has a wise mom who said, Dad, this is the Lord's leading. And my oldest son plays in a London pickup basketball league. So he still has that part of his life. But he's a pastor on staff who works with the tech team and the worship team and was here last week helping our team and has even played drums and guitar and everything else here as well as his own church because he had an understanding that God is reprioritizing my life. Because there's something that he is moving me towards. So it's okay for your kids not to experience everything. Limit the things that will challenge the centrality of Christ in your home. Because, you know, our values and priorities are caught by our children as much or even more than they're taught. If we want Jesus to be central in our homes and families, we'll have to be intentional. Make the time and make it non-negotiable. When I was growing up, family devotions were... Does anyone remember living in a time when you had family devotions? Do you remember that? After supper, every night, we had to sit down, open the Word, pray. And it was non-negotiable. Now, as we got older and started to work, my parents found other ways to keep Christ central in our home. But as long as we lived in their home, we went to church on Sunday, period. And you went to youth group, period. That's it. That's our home. You don't like it? You can live in another home. That's how my parents chose to raise us. So grateful they did now. I remember my friends, when I got a bit older, would start coming to the house early. I'd tell them, don't come before 6 o'clock. Whatever you do, don't come before 6 o'clock. Well, they got curious, so they'd come. I remember the time that all the tough kids in the neighborhood I was hanging out with came. You know, I was probably in grade 7 or 8, and all the kids came, you know, cigarettes behind the ears, you know, these you know, 7-year-olds, snap, snap, you know, cigarettes rolled up in their sleeves. They came, and they said, can Jay come out? My parents said, well, he can come out in half an hour. We're doing family devotions. Why don't you come in and wait for him? Okay. Oh, my goodness. And like, we did family devotions, and I remember my three friends, all of them like really super tough guys, like, you know, the scrappers in the school, cigarettes. They heard the gospel. They heard everybody in the family, but I think my second brother and I pray. We're like, no, we don't feel led to pray today, thanks. You know why? It was non-negotiable. It was non-negotiable. Boy, I did not like that. I was not a grade 7 going, thank you, Jesus, for the family devotion time. Hated it sometimes. I am so grateful today. I would go to school. I didn't know who any of the DC or Marvel people were. They would show me Kiss records. I hadn't heard any of them up to that point. But boy, I knew who Daniel was. I knew who Esther was. They were my heroes. Because it was a priority in my parents' home. I've known families in churches where we pastored who won't attend extended family functions on Sunday morning. And they paid a price for that. In fact, I've had families come to me over the years and say, my extended family, all of whom are Christians and go to this church, are ticked with us saying, you're just so legalistic because you won't come to the birthday party Sunday morning. This is Christian. And they've said, no, this is a value. Because there's always something that wants to draw you away. Anytime, I don't know about you, anytime I go to have my quiet time with Jesus, there's a Peter. Hey, Lord. Right? My phone goes off. Come on, how many times you go? Your phone won't ring all day the minute you open your Bible and say, Jesus, I'm yours. Your text starts going off. There's always something that will draw us away. There's always another opportunity. I don't have this in my notes, but I'm going to say this as well. There was a time, and this is just us. This isn't thus saith Jay. This is just us. There was a time our son Mitch played travel baseball in the Toronto area. He was a good ball player, and he played travel baseball, and it meant he missed church sometimes. Mom and dad couldn't, but when the games were closer, we would drive down. He would go with the coach, and we wrestled with that. You know, we really wrestled with that. because that was a priority in our lives. But friends, if I can just share with you, I've had so many conversations with parents over the years who have come to me and said, you know, we thought we'd be okay being gone every weekend to travel this or travel that because we've been serving the Lord for decades. It was time with our kids. They had the opportunity to be involved or this or that. But it meant, I remember standing in the kitchen and a dad saying to me, we never were in church because I always traveled with my son to the such and such a sporting event. And he looked at me and he said, here's the thing. My son has no desire to go to church, has no desire for the things of God, but never misses watching a Leafs game and watches football every Sunday. And he said, it's because we modeled that was the priority. And folks, I remember talking to my friend, Pastor Gary, one time. And we were just talking about the amount of conversations we've had with parents who said, I wish we had been more intentional on setting the priorities of our home because none of our kids are interested in the things of the Lord. I get to the place sometimes in my life where I'm like, I'm so busy, I'm overextended and exhausted. Can I have the worship team come back? Lord, I don't have time for my own spiritual health, and I start to get even sometimes resentful towards the demands that the ministry puts on me, and I'm sure you can feel the same way in your workplace and with your family. We get so frustrated because it's like, man, it just seems like from the minute I get up to the minute I go to bed, there's always something drawing me away. Listen, it is no one else's fault. It's no one else's responsibility. It's mine. It's mine. If I want to be transformed in 2024, I am going to have to be intentional. And you're going to have to be intentional. Listen, I also just say this. There was a time that I would go when I was on staff in London. I would go in the van, sometimes on my lunch and that, and I'd go drive out to a cornfield out past, you know, Veterans Parkway. I'd go out to a cornfield and open my Bible. I was going to spend time with Jesus, just out where the wind blows and the corn rustles. Like, I was going to spend time with Jesus, and about 4 days in a row, I just fell asleep. I woke up, you know, like you got it running down, and your face is on the steering wheel. And man, the fourth day, I beat myself up, and I'm like, Jesus, I'm trying so hard to spend time with you, and I'm so sorry. I'm going to stand up and preach and tell my youth they've got to spend time. And I just felt the Holy Spirit go, Jay, relax. You're tired. You need sleep. It's okay. Once I understood that principle, that the Lord actually cares about me, he wasn't, when I woke up, I had this sense that he was like, seriously, I've been in this van for half an hour and you've been sleeping the whole time. Got better things to do, like running the universe than sit in this middle of this stupid cornfield in London, Ontario, wait for you to wake up. That's the first 3 days, that's how I felt. I woke up the fourth day and just started the whole self-talk. And I just felt the presence of the Holy Spirit come over me. And he says, Jay, you're tired. You just need sleep. You got young kids at home. It's okay. It's okay. I just watched you rest. And I immediately had a picture of me sitting in my daughter's room. Because my daughter was a go-getter. When she went to bed, it was like, hallelujah, she's finally asleep. No. But you know, you ever done this as a parent? You ever gone in your kid's room and just watched them sleep? I would do that sometimes. I would just sneak in the room and watch them. I've done it with all my kids. And I've just gone, Jesus, look at them. You've given those children to me. I'm so blessed to be a dad. And they're just so quiet and they're so restful. And I'd pray blessing on them. And the Lord gave me a picture. That's what he was doing in the van those days. He was just watching me sleep, just blessing me. And I want you to know something. That freed me up to go, we all go through seasons. But I still had to adjust. I had to make sure I was going to bed earlier. And that was probably the time in my life when I started getting up early in the morning to spend my time with the Lord. Because I'm good in the morning. It's after, in the afternoon, I start to get tired. So I had to be intentional. But it was also life-giving. When I'm with Jesus now, it's life-giving. I can't wait Pastor Dan said this to me. I said to Pastor Dan, I'm still trying to find like that place and that space to spend time with the Lord. And he goes, you do when you remember in the car coming back from Toronto last weekend. And Pastor Dan went, you spend time with the Lord when you're out walking your dogs. And I went, that's right. That's me and Jesus time. I'm usually not praying for the church. I'm not usually praying for you. I'm just spending time with Jesus. When I walk my dogs, in between picking up the poop and spending time with Jesus. I'm trying to be funny, but I'm not. We can be intentional. The Lord knows. The Lord knows the pressure that's in your life. He knows the demands that are on your life. He knows all of the things that you need to accomplish in a day. And he just wants you to know, if you be intentional and come to him first, whatever that looks like, day by day, I do believe there needs to be, make appointments with the Lord. I've encouraged people over the years to do this. I've said, literally write it into your calendar. Make an appointment Saturday at 10 to go somewhere and spend an hour with the Lord. And people have said like, well, isn't that just kind of like, and I said, no, it's not like a business transaction. You make appointments and you make room for the things that are important to you. Here's the reality. A lot of you will just stop by the office and say, can I have half an hour of your time? And guess what? We open the door, you come in, I give you half an hour of my time. But I've got two appointments this week with two pastors who've been trying to get together with me, and I've been trying to get together with them, one for prayer, the other just for planning some things. But I made appointments with them. You know why? Because our relationship has value. What we need to do has value. So I had to make an appointment. It's in my calendar. Because that relationship, that conversation is value to me, and it has to happen this week. So when you make an appointment, you say, boy, you know, Jesus, I make an appointment for you from 10 to 11:30 on Saturday morning. Keep that appointment. Except for an emergency, keep it. And you know what? That honors the Lord. But whatever it looks like for you, just be intentional and ask the Lord to prioritize the steps of your family. I've really tried to be really transparent today. I would never, ever assume to say that because Jackie and I parented this way or because my parents parented that way, that's the model. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just letting you know that we had to work through all that stuff too. Our kids have these opportunities. Which ones will we allow them to walk through, and which ones are we gonna say, sorry, but we have different priorities. And we made mistakes. That's a great thing about coming to Jesus first. It's small adjustments we make, not lifelong ones where people are sitting in my office going, Pastor, for 20 years, we prioritized our life over here and now our children suffered. When you come to Jesus daily, when you come to Jesus weekly, when you say, Jesus, you've seen the chaos that's our life the last 2 weeks, and I feel like I barely spent any time with you, but Lord, I'm going to spend some time now. It's a small adjustment back for you and for your family. Does this make sense? Can we stand? I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward. We're going to dismiss the service like we do. We've really been just, God has really been blessing our after service. The times when some people need to go, again, we bless you to go. If you need to go, I'm glad you were here today. But in our after service, if I can have that prayer team come and just stand along the front. In our after services, we've been having testimonies. Do you know last week, and I'm going to tell you something, it wasn't because Pastor Chris and Pastor Nikki were here, it's because people came and asked Jesus to intervene in their circumstance, and Jesus intervened. We had people healed last week of arthritis. We had people, he came in pain, and when the team was done praying for them, they left saying, I have no pain. It lifted when we prayed. I've been speaking to people since last weekend who have been telling me, I have such a hunger for holiness, such a desire for intimacy, Pastor. I've been having those conversations. So we're going to have the worship team play. We're going to turn this room into a place of prayer, whether it's you're going to come forward and be prayed for, whether you're just going to kneel or stand and worship. We ask that we keep the words on the screen and then just maybe spend a few minutes talking to Jesus. If it's been one of those weeks where you're like, yeah, I've been going out into the world, but I haven't come to Jesus, you can spend a few minutes now with him. And boy, little is much when God's in it. Amen? Father, thank you for each and every person that's here. I pray that through the weakness of delivery this morning, your word would have come through strong and sharp and encouraging and even challenging where we need to be, Lord. Too much is at stake. Too much. We're at a place in history, Lord, where the love of many are going to grow cold. May it not be my family. May it not be any families in Calvary Church, but may we be people who love you deeply and love you intimately and make that the priority of our lives. And I'm thankful, Lord God, that it's not a heavy duty thing. Oh, you love us and you care about us, and that's why you want us to draw near to you, because you have every goodness available for our lives. And I thank you for this. So bless those that need to go. Jesus, bless them. Thank you that they came this morning. If anyone responded to that prayer to receive you into their hearts, may they come forward this morning and just say, I want to accept Jesus, so that way we can give them the materials, Lord, and introduce them to life with you. And so, God, we thank you. We love you. And all of this is for your glory and honor. And everyone said, amen. If you need to go, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you are blessed and encouraged by the message today.